I'm Bernie Chibuka. On my podcast, the Ugandan Boy Talk Show, I've had an honor to sit down with some of the most incredible hearts and minds from Uganda, like Miss Uganda Oliver Nakakande, Joram Ozoi Job, the Executive Director of Joram Model Management, Pastor Wilson Bugembe, and many, many more. On this podcast, you get to hear raw and real life stories of their journey, what they've been through, and the people that have inspired their journey so that they can make a difference in ours. Listen to the Ugandan Boy Talk Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Join the journey soon. Nathan, right. Welcome to the podcast, my brother.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Do you have an idea how you ended up here?
Yes, a friend reached out and told me, man, I want to hear your story. So I recommended your name and all that. Oh, cool. Thanks, man.
Who was our friend?
Simon.
Picture by Simon. I think he's the name. Yeah. So it's funny because Picture by Simon recommended you to be on the podcast. But I went back in my notes. I was searching your name on Instagram and then it brought all my DMs. Nendaba Sozi recommended you a while back, like,
oh wow.
So after I had recorded with Sozi Draws, the other people he wants me to, because that's a signature question, and be ready for that because it's gonna come up before we end this recording. But Sozi recommended you almost last year, maybe it was like a little last year, and he recommended you to be on the podcast. So you know Sozi?
Yes, I do. I actually work with Sozi.
Okay. How do you work together? Because he's in animation and you're in photography.
So Fancy Media does media. It does, let's say, branding and all that. So that's where Sozi comes in. Sozi is an animator and graphic designer. So that's where we work together.
Okay.
Though my specialty personally is photography.
And we're going to get into that. But yeah, I had Sozi here and I saw he recommended you to be on the podcast. There's one funny thing, and Sozi talked about it when he was on the podcast. He made like a funny joke of him looking for a girlfriend. And I saw it came up again on WhatsApp. I saw it on WhatsApp and I responded. I think I shared with you. It's like, that's funny. Yeah. Tell me about that. Who came up with the idea of Sozi, like, say, we're hiring and then you can submit in your applications? How did that come about?
Well, it happened that that time when Sozi's birthday came up last year, I wasn't close. So I wasn't close to where I was. So I couldn't get him a gift in that very moment. So I thought, you know what? Let me just give him a virtual gift. We'll see other things when I get back. So that was more like my gift to him, you know.
Yeah.
We are hiring and all that. Yeah.
That was funny. And if I find it, I'll put it in my video. So the people watching on YouTube or those who are listening, you won't be able to hear it. But if you check out the video on YouTube, you will be able to see it. And I might post it on Instagram if I'm able to share it on there. But yeah, that's I wanted to start in that to just kind of let you know how you ended up on here and for the listeners to know who is this guy that Bonnie brought today, Avawa. How did he end up on the podcast? Because a lot of people ask me, how do you get your guests on the podcast? I want to, I'm again, you over for note, you're like, how, and I'm like, people recommend people, and then another person recommends another person. So that's how you guys ended up here. So where are you from? Obeda, were like in Uganda. I know you're from Uganda, and for the listeners, for the listeners who don't live in Uganda, yeah, he's from Uganda. So, but where in Uganda are you from?
Kampala, the capital city.
City. Okay. Where did you go to school? I like to ask people that because sometimes I found out that some of my guests actually went to the same schools I did. We might have gone there like different years, but I end up knowing an OB or OG or a mutual person.
I homeschooled for the first 10 years of my life.
Homeschooled?
Yes.
Let's hold on to that first because I've never had a Ugandan person who was homeschooled. And when I came to America, that's only the first time I heard about homeschool. So that caught my attention right there. How did that come about? How did your parents think about homeschool?
Up to this day, I have no idea. But because I'm the last born of four, so it happens that my elder siblings are already in school. Me, I went for the first time of baby class, And after that, all of us started homeschooling. So, mom would teach us English, science, and math. And then dad, when he'd get time over the weekends, would teach us SST. So,
how long did you say you did that?
10 years. Nursery to
seven. So how did you get the curriculum? Like, was your parents getting it from the school?
They had connections here and there. And there was also an education, what did I call it? More of a company where they would sell exams and all that curricula and so on. So they would buy the books, MCM books and supplements.
That is crazy. And it's definitely like shocked me. No, because I was like, if we had homeschooling in Uganda, because I'd never heard of it. And this is why I'm thankful for talking to people. Because when I talk to other people like here in the US, I tell them, like, we don't have that kind of stuff because I've never heard of it. But like that changes my perspective of things of like, yeah, we do. I've talked to somebody who was homeschooled because I kept telling people like, if we had that, I would have loved to be homeschooled actually. After I came to the US and I found out how it is, you study at home, you can still do whatever you have to do, like with family travel, and you're still able to do like your schooling. That was pretty cool that you did that. So when you got to P7, how did that work out? Because I know you have to register and then you go to sit for national exams.
So my father, I think he was on the board of one of the schools that was close to home. Yeah, so I registered with them, did my finals with them. Yeah, that's how I did my final exams.
That's amazing, and I'm glad I asked that question, because sometimes I ignore it. I was like, nah, it's irrelevant. But I know now, like there's no question that it's irrelevant, because it brings up a conversation that might be interesting for the host, for the listeners, and everybody. Because I'm sure a lot of people who didn't know, and there's a lot of other people in Uganda who don't know about homeschool. So what years was that? Like, what year did you finish P7, if you remember?
So many people are going to judge me here, but 2013.
No, 2013 is not so bad. I don't know. I won't dig into that for people to start calculating. Yeah, so I'll just leave it at that. But yeah, that's amazing. So now, where did you go for high school?
I joined Master KFS 2014 through to 2017.
Okay.
Then I joined St. Henry's College, Itovu, 2018, 2019.
That is crazy, because now you made me feel like an old person.
I don't like doing that.
You made me feel like an old person. Yeah, so did you have any issues being homeschooled when you went to high school? Like, did you see any differences from other students than you, or no?
Yeah. Yeah, really. You see, the first challenge came with interacting. Because, you know, like in a home environment, you're interacting with your brothers, with your sisters, with your parents, you know. Going to high school, I remember I used to tell teachers that they are wrong. You know, you put up like, no, that's not right. You're wrong. And it got me into a bit of trouble. Until when I learned to not to be that outright with what I'm saying, but then also apart from that, really nothing else. Interacting,
That's great. Yeah, I think social life is the difference, because I now have a daughter, and I think I want to homeschool her, but in America it's different, because with homeschool, one of the parents has to stay home to make sure the teaches the kids, things like that. So it's something you have to think hard about. But it's really good, because you can train up your child in the way that you want them to learn, or teach them the things you want them to learn. That also comes with a cost too, because if a child, like you said, you go to a high school now, and it's hard for you to connect with other kids because you're only used to your family and friends. But yeah, that's interesting. I'm glad we touched on that. So I usually like to do the school background, like I said, because learning to know, maybe somebody is going to be, I have my washer going on. I don't know if it's loud. Oh, I don't know if you can even hear it.
No, I can't hear it.
Okay. My laundry was going and it was making a loud noise here. But I like to do that to just kind of give the basis on to somebody's story. My big focus today was going to focus on your fancy media pictures. And so when you finished high school, did you have anything in mind that you wanted to do?
Actually, so I meet I meet when I go to Saint Mary's College, Kitovu. That's where I met Susie,
Okay.
and we had a sort with all prom party in Trinity College at Bingo,
Okay.
2019, and the photography team that came along. I approached the gentleman who was leading the team, Andrew Katende, and I told him, I'm interested in photography. Would you teach me? So I was like, yeah, I will. On one condition, you get to buy a camera. I'm like, okay, cool. I look into that. I remember that time I had 200,000 shillings.
Yeah.
was thinking, how am I going to make this? But yeah, luckily I saved up. And before the end of my form six, I had a camera. So I started.
What camera did you buy? What camera did you start with?
Nikon D 80.
Okay.
Yeah, so when we got to know that I got in the camera, I was like, oh, this guy is serious about this, by the way. So there was a competition, and that's competition, photography competition that was happening, I think 2 weeks before my final exam. But these competitions were out of school. Actually, they were in Entebbe, and the school is in Masaka, and the camp was for 5 days. So I had to leave. And up to this day, I'm really grateful to my parents for having let me leave, because I don't think I'll let my kids leave school when their finals are in like a week. So I go.
What excuse did you give to the school? Because I know when we wanted to leave school, we had to get a pass out, and either you're sick, school fees. Oh, it has to be a big reason for you to leave school. What excuse did you tell
Actually, I told them the truth because Stone is extremely supportive of co-curricular activity.
them?
So I told them the truth. I showed them the invitation. Actually, I went with my parents and they were like, yeah, it's okay. So.
That wouldn't have happened
Yeah.
in high school. No. Either somebody has died, you're sick, school fees. So for me to go for anything, I would have to lie. So like I would have to lie, and then you tell them like, "Hey, Obatwafiridwa," or somebody you call up somebody, say, "Hey, come at my school and tell them what way your food there," and then so they can let me go. But yeah, that's I like schools that are supportive, like something like that. But also to keep in mind, like a child, if you're gonna have your finals in a week, you know, it's a critical moment for them to let you go do something that's not in line with school or something like that.
Yeah, so I went and took part 5 days. So they wanted 4 people out of 10 to be part of the mentorship. And I remember I was number two. So that's basically the start of my photography journey.
Did you so you bought a camera and you were still in school? How did you learn the things you were able to take to that competition too? Like the skills you were going to say, I'm going to take these for you to even be able to be number two?
Actually, the competition was an amateur competition,
Okay.
and what they looked out more for was the spirit and what you look to achieve later on, because there were guys who are actually better than me. But I think there were parts that were like of interviews, they would be like, hey, after here, what are you going to do, and all that, and that would gauge whether they would take you on. Because some people that were among the four right now are not photographers, they're into other things, so they were trying to get as well with this person stay around or not.
That's really good, and I'm glad like you stayed onto that. So how did your mentor, the person you reached out to, I don't remember the name you said, but how did he continue to help you to the point where you were able to go on your own? Wait, did you ever reach out to him again after you bought the camera, and did he ever help you through?
He actually helped me buy the camera. He came to school. I was like a club president of sorts, and there was a function. So, collected. Then it was a lot of money. I collected 1 million shillings. You know, he came to school. I had to count it like in the corner so that people don't see me. I gave it to him. He went and bought it. The next time he was coming to school, he came with it. So he connected me to that internship program or mentorship program. Then after that, because he was one of the trainers in the mentorship program, the pictures he took, he used to submit pictures every month. the pictures we took would give him to them to him, and he would send them to the Dutch organization. So
yeah.
we kept in touch. Actually, very many of the commissioned work that he would go to do, I would ask him, and I tag along, something like that. So
that's always good to have somebody to hold your hand while you're going to achieve something that you want to do. And it always is important, not only in photography, and I always remind the listeners, like, not only photography, but anything you want to achieve, when you have somebody, a mentor, it's always good to have that person that you look up to and you ask for guidance or assistance, and it makes life a lot easier. Now, when you got your camera in school, did you ever take pictures for students in the school and you sell it to them? Did you ever do that?
No, I would take just for the thrill of it, you know. I was learning. Basically, all of us, me who owned the camera and other students who would once in a while use the camera, we were still the same way, we'd be all in our teachers.
Yeah.
Just take pictures, put a watermark, give them like that.
Yeah. You never sold any of them?
No, I didn't.
So now, how do you meet Simon?
Me and Simon come from the same village.
Okay.
So Simon was old. Pardon?
What village is that, Masaka?
Nyukumbu.
Nyukumbu. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. So we happen to come from the same village, and he attended Chitovu at a different time than when I went there. So we never met actually in school, but we knew each other from back in the dad's field and so.
Okay, that's that's good. It's always good to keep friendship. I know you with both the people I've talked about, Sozi and Simon. It's you can tell like the connection came from way back. And so you were with Sozi in the school. Is that the time when you thought about doing or to working together or coming with a fancy media? When did that come about?
Actually, funny enough, me and Sozi weren't really close, because I wasn't even in the creative scene, weren't in the same class, was doing math, was doing humanitarian, like art. But Sozi did he did illustrations actually for our school magazine, and everyone knows him for that. So after school, when I entered the creative space, I was like, there's no better person to collaborate with other than Sozi, at least in my circle.
Yeah, that is good. I have a friend too. So I have a friend, I was coming back to Uganda and he wanted to buy a camera. I think it was the Canon RT6 or something. Those, I think they're like a million or something like that. So he bought it through another friend. So the other friend had connected with me. He's like, hey, you're going to Uganda. Will you take this camera to this guy? I was like, yeah, sure, I'll take it. And I took this camera to this guy in Uganda. I've never seen him. I didn't even know about him. He came and picked it up. He was so happy that I brought his camera, because he thought some other person would steal it. I gave it to him, and he was so happy. He's a painter. He draws like on sketch, not like sketch, but he paints like some drawings on the canvases. So he made me a canvas. He's like, hey, this is my gift for you for bringing my camera. And since then, I think it was like 2017, we've become friends. Like now, he has also designed like some graphics for my podcast. And now we have another big project coming up where he's going to become like a editor, or like editing these podcasts and like putting them up. And he's in Uganda, I'm in the US, but the way we're going to connect with that, like that's a lot. We've been thinking about this for a long time, because now, like I've told you in the beginning, I'm the editor, the recorder, the host. So it's a lot of work. And being in the US, like everybody, like it's really hard to find people to work with and like the area where I'm at. But like we've built a friendship. I've only met him once, but we've been friends since 2017 till now. And like now we have this plan or project of expanding this podcast to be, it's already remote. It's like now I'm talking to you in Uganda. I'm recording in the US, and then it's going to go back to Uganda for editing, and then it will go on YouTube. So there's a lot of behind the scenes that's going to be happening in there. But I just share that little story because it's a friend we just met, and all my friends I have in life, life brought us together at some point. And from there, then things just started adding up. So I like that you kept your friendship and keeping them close and working with them. So that's a really big plus. So when was the time you were like, I'm going to start Fancy Media? And how did you come up with the name Fancy Media?
Fancy, fancy, fancy.
And why?
Yes. There's that hit song from 2013. I think it also well.
I'm so fancy.
Yeah, that one. So I used to like the song a lot. People used to call me fancy, fancy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And but later on, I envisioned like, what do I want to do? Do I want to do ordinary things? I'm like, no. I have to do fancy stuff. Like, whatever I touch, everyone has to be like, really, whatever I touch is turned into gold. So that's around June 6th, 2020? Yeah, 2021.
Yeah.
We put up our first post on the... Actually, fancy photography started before that. I'd say around 2019, end of 2019, went through COVID and all that, but it was kind of like dormant. And closing to the end of 2020, we started working on the paperwork of having Fancy registered.
Yeah.
And by the end of 2021, it was fully registered. So as a Fancy Media Limited, and so then also Fancy Photography turned to Fancy Media Pictures.
Mm. So I know you mentioned Fancy does a lot of things besides video. You do videos too, right?
Yes, please.
Like event videos and photography, and then you have illustrations with where Sozi comes in. What other stuff that you guys do?
Branding and marketing.
Okay, yeah, you mentioned that, branding and marketing. That's crazy that, and from earlier when I asked you when you finished like P7 and stuff, that in my head, I know like this guy is still like a Movubu guy, still a younger person, but like having all this going on, like it's really kudos to you, man. It's really hard for our fellow youth in Uganda to find their niche, to find something they want to do. But like here you are with your whole company and doing really good pictures. I have your Instagram pulled up here with Fancy Media Pictures, and whoever is listening and needs pictures, you know where to go. You know the place to be, and I'll have his usernames and social media platforms attached to this episode when it comes out. But I wanted to ask you another question was, besides the mentor that brought you the camera at the beginning, are there other people in your life that you've looked up to in photography and you admire their work and they've inspired you?
So I've gravitated more to wedding photography, documentary photography, as well as event photography. And there are people who have told me, this is what you do. So when it comes to documentary, it's my mentor, Andrew Katende,
mm-hmm.
the one that I started with, he really, really shows me what to do here, there. When it comes to weddings, there's a gentleman called Makula Pictures.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about Makula Pictures, yeah.
So I once in a while reach out asking, what did I do here? What did I do there? Then, when it comes to photography, there's a event photography. There's a gentleman called Samuel. I was doing some internship sometime. I found him there as a photographer, and we kept in touch.
Mm. That's really good. I've interviewed a bunch of other photographers on the podcast. I don't know how many episodes you've seen on my podcast or heard, but there's a lot of photographers. And the funny thing is, like, a photographer will recommend another photographer, and like listening to their stories, I don't know if you've heard about Shot by Mo Buscago, Picture William Takes. Nyaika also does some pictures on Instagram. So I've had all those guys on my podcast to just talk about the photography journey. I loved pictures. Like, I still love to take my own pictures, like, even on my Instagram. Like, I've not, because I've been super busy, so I don't really. But there was a time where I would post a picture of myself, like, at least every day on Instagram. And I love taking pictures. Yeah. But I was more into like nature pictures too, and I have a page actually that I started a long time ago. I don't have any fancy cameras. The cameras I have are just, I mean, I do. I'm actually going to buy another one for just my videos for the podcast to just improve the quality. But like I started that photography page, and it's just nature. So I go out in the woods and just find something good and just take it. And now that I start working with airplanes, like there's a bunch of airplanes that come into our work and they're different. So like, oh my gosh, it's a cool airplane. Like they're most like private jets. So like I take a picture of that and just put it up there. It is a little bit. I don't really put a lot of time in there. So I had the love for photography. So every time I sit down with somebody who is doing photography for a living, I like to pick their brains to see how they'll process that and being able to do that. And do you ever think of doing any other kind of photography besides besides people and weddings?
Yeah, I tried,
Yeah.
because I've been doing it like for four now coming to 4 years. You do other things. I did products. I hated it. I did sports. I did it one time. Then I saw the Olympic some guy's camera getting hit by a ball, and he lost it. I'm like, no, I'm not going this time. It's interesting. I might go there sometime. Yeah, but major. Documentary, wedding, and even photography for now.
That is awesome. And you're doing great. You did good. And on your Instagram, you just have these wedding pictures that you just posted recently of I don't know, Akashe weds Mary. It was really dope pictures, and I looked at those. How easy is it to find clients, and how do you promote your work?
It's majorly recommendations. You really can't convince anyone of how good you are unless they've seen you over time. That's what I used to tell people about AI. People work with other people because of relationships. They don't work with them because they've heard they can deliver. So if you work with someone, they know your work is good, they trust you, they recommend you to another person, and that's how. And you make sure that the clients you get, you keep them, you do good work for them.
Have you heard of Moxie Photography?
Yes, I have.
Moxie, do you know him personally or no?
No, but soon. We are pretty much in the same circle.
Yeah, Moxie is my childhood friend, my OB. We went to school together and would play basketball together. I hosted him on the practice back in the day before he got all this like attention and everything. His episode is still back there. I need to bring him back again. But and oh, at that time I wasn't even doing video, so it was audio episodes. So I need to host him back again. But yeah, he's into photography too, and he's a childhood friend, and he's an amazing guy. So I was just asking to see if you know him. But what are some of the challenges you faced into this path of doing photography?
The start was tight.
Yeah.
Equipment is crazy, the prices. And the market isn't willing to pay that much, especially when you're getting out of your shell, because they also know your work isn't that good. I remember I used to do gigs for 50,000 and all that. I remember my first serious gig when I just come to Kampala was a birthday. It was September 8th or September 7th, 2020. I was paid 120,000 shillings. So on that 120,000 shillings, I had someone give me a nice camera at around 50,000. I used 30,000 to get a speed light. I put in batteries for 10,000. So that's already 90,000, and transport for 20,000. So I'm left with 10,000. I have to go back and edit around 200 plus pictures and put on data to upload them on Google Drive. So basically, I ended up with 5,000. And now this is me. I have two cameras. The first one that I bought and the one that I won at the mentorship, but they are non-silly professional cameras. You can't really use them professionally. So I had to find a way of saving up to get my own equipment and all that. And it wasn't an easy road, but yeah,
Yeah,
we overcame.
that is crazy when you say, yeah, the start is not easy. Like, and a lot of people, that's when they lose it. They struggle at the beginning and they don't see the outcome. But sometimes when you persist onto something, it gets to where you want to see it. It's the effort you put in that you're gonna it will help you to get to the final part of it. Even when I was starting the podcast, like I was telling you at the beginning, I didn't even do videos because I didn't have a camera, I didn't have anything. And then I started, I was like, oh, I can add video to it. But buying the equipment and the lights and the cameras, it's not easy. But once the more you this the way I look at it is like what you put in is like it's a capital. It's like investing in your work. And when it gets good, then the clients will be able to see it. I was like, hey guy, akora like now on your Instagram, not like people will see your work, be like, guy, akora professional work, and then that will bring customers to you. But if you don't want to put in, which is hard, like it's hard when you're not getting the same out. But you know, when you put in, at some point you'll be able to get some out. So yeah, I was gonna ask you that. But yeah, your pictures are really, really dope. I see the graduation stuff. And so did you ever upgrade to a better camera at this point, or you still?
Yes, I upgraded. I did upgrade. Right now, I have two cameras. They're both Nikons. They're full frame. So yeah, picture quality is good. Though they are also those that I look at, the ones I want to get. They're still a little pricey, but we'll get there. It's a
It's
process.
it never stops. Like you say, okay, this time, then you buy, like I'm planning to buy a camera like recently. I'm waiting for this Amazon Prime Day. But like you, I have a little camera that I have on the back here that I use for some of my videos, and then I use my phone because I wanted a different angles of the shot. And then this is just a webcam here. So, but I wanted to, because my phone does like good videos, but I wanted to get like a camera, like an actual camera for the job. And I like to have my phone in my hand sometimes when I'm recording. Well, my camera paused here. I was scared a little bit. But yeah, that's why I'm buying the. But when you're into camera and photography, it doesn't stop. You see something good every time. Every time you buy something, it's like, oh, I need to upgrade. I need to upgrade. I need to upgrade all the time. But yeah, that comes with that. But anyway, I've enjoyed listening to some of your story and your journey. But I have a few questions that I want to ask you before I let you go. What has been a life lesson you've learned in life to this point?
Practice is a process. Work is long term. So to start with, life is a, or start, I think practice is a process. Yes. The fact that I set out in 2019, I set out with many other people who are doing pictures, and some of them we are still going in the industry, and we are growing the contacts and everything, and we are getting better gigs over time. But those who wanted to just come, hit it, go, it hasn't really gone well for them. And then wealth is long term. Yeah, we are young people, but make your money however little it is, and
Right.
find out investing it. And the next 10 to 15 years, things will be way much different than how they are right now.
That's awesome. And I'm hopefully another youth or somebody out there is listening to that so they can help them wherever they are in life, and reminding them that success is a process, like you said. It's not gonna come tomorrow, but you just keep working towards it, and it will come eventually as long as you don't stop. Like they say, never give up. I know it's cliche, but never give up is always good. Just no matter what, just keep going. What gets you excited about life?
Wow. Well, that's a broad question. Some days, because I usually work Thursday through to Sunday, other days Friday, Saturday, and the rest of the week, I'm really not doing that much. And today I woke up and I wasn't looking forward to that much since it's a Monday. Then you ask me that question, it really makes me think a lot because
To be honest with you, like I don't think that question has a like a one answer, like a perfect answer. People have said anything, like from food to cameras to just actions, like doing something to somebody. So everybody has had different answers, which it's the joy of the question, because so some people say, oh, if I do this for some person, that makes me really happy about life. But you could give any answer that you want.
Okay, on a lesser perspective, I want to make my parents happy, you know, make them proud. They've put in a lot to see that I get where I am. And also, I know that I'm not living my life for me alone. So I want to see those who come after me, let it be my offspring, let it be my, even my siblings or anything like that, that I have an impact in their lives and I can be a person of who they can say has been of good to them. You know, everyone has that one person in their life when they, you know, they call you, you don't want to pick. You know, I want to be that person. I want to be a person of positive change.
That's good. And then on that, I wanted to ask you, like, how did your parents feel about, you know, some people in Uganda think Omuntu wafuka cameraman is a failure. How did they think about that when you decided to do that for a living?
Well, I don't have a concrete answer. My mom is very supportive of whatever we do, as long as it's going forward. So I was home last month, because I finished my university finals last month. So I go home a couple of days. Then my dad, we are there conversing, and then he's like, hey, the time when you get a serious job, it came in passing. I was like, oh, okay. And also my siblings joke about it a lot, you know, because my biggest brother is he just graduated as a surgeon. My other brother finished LDC, so he's a lawyer. My sister is a child specialist. So they'd be like, so we'll come for family events and we are introducing Musoke Sanja, like, hey, the oldest is a doctor, the second born is a lawyer, third one is a child specialist. So, I
said my cameraman.
So, but I think they've taken it on very, very okay. I think also the fact that I have a cushion of my elder siblings who are doing professional jobs, it doesn't put that much pressure on me, you know, you need to get a job at 9 to 5 and all that.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. I thought of that question and I wanted to ask you, so I'm glad I did, because that was a funny explanation and what they think. My final question, who would you like to see on the podcast next? And you're going to help me find that person and bring them to the podcast as a guest.
Hakim Luyima.
Okay. Hakim Luyima is a photographer, or what does he do?
He's a designer.
Okay. Yep. So what you're going to do is reach out to him that I recommended you on this podcast and connect me with him, and then I'll reach out to them with an official invite to the podcast.
Okay, I'll definitely do so.
Nathan, thanks very much for your time, and thanks for chatting with me about Fancy Media, and I can't wait for the people to listen to your journey and your story and what you do. Hopefully this will bring a lot of clients for finding out what you do, and I do this to support other people, support myself. The motto of my podcast was, we rise by lifting each other. So I know hosting you on my podcast, your friends are going to see it, my friends are going to see your podcast, and then we both support each other that way. That's why sometimes I don't charge people to have them on the podcast. I do it because I know we're both lifting each other in one way or the other. So I thank you, and thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right, let's keep connected, brother. Hey there, this is Bonnie Kibuka, the host of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Thanks for watching and listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you share it with a friend and recommend somebody to this podcast. Don't forget to leave a feedback on this podcast, because that's how we grow. And also don't forget to share, like, subscribe, and comment. Join us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. So we'd love to hear from you. Thank you very much, and be blessed.